Get the buzz and be seen at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now, welcome to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for tuning in. Hey, everybody's heard about the wow. We're honored today to be speaking with Mr. Gerald Ramoyne. Gerald, thank you for coming to speak to us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's quite an honor. Well, we always hear about Performance Auto Mall. Tell us what it's all about.
Well, obviously, we're in the auto business, and we try to make it more than just a car dealership. We try to make it a community citizen, and obviously, we have a lot of brands here in Chapel Hill, and we're just excited about being able to be in a good community.
Beautiful. And how long have you been in business with Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill?
I've been here since 1992. Time flies when you're having fun,
92,
right?
92, yes.
It happens overnight, right? So I've been here a while. And actually, I was raised in South Louisiana. And Sulphur, Louisiana is the name of the town. It's Lake Charles area, kind of southwest corner of the state. And I got in the auto business in 1982. Mm-hmm. I started in Houston, Texas, and was fortunate enough to work for several great organizations. And I was in Kansas City, and Mr. Hendrick, who owns Hendrick Automotive Group, I met, and he was buying some of the dealerships for the company I was working for. And long story short, I ended up moving out to Raleigh and working at Performance Auto Mall in 1992.
So you've been Performance Auto Mall since 1992.
Correct. That's why I came here.
Where'd you come up with the wow? What made you start putting the wow as part of your brand?
Well, that was kind of interesting because Dean Linke, a lot of people know him, and Phil Zachary, friends of mine, Phil's in the radio business as well. And we were talking about marketing and radio advertising and things of this nature. And people noticed a lot of times when I saw something, you know, wow means a lot of things. And it means something great. It can mean something scary. It can mean something wrong. It can mean something right. And so I say, you know, wow, I didn't know that. Or wow, that's pretty cool. Or wow, how about that?
Wow.
So it means so many different things and how the connotation you use it in.
Yes.
And I guess I was saying it when I was having, and somebody mentioned that you use that word a lot. Let's make this about you, about what your values are, because when we talk about great service, I call it the wow experience.
Yes.
And that's really what it means in our marketing, is that we're really going to work hard to try to make the experience a positive, productive one, something someone can enjoy.
Got it. So that's the wow.
And that's
people
the
see
wow.
You on the street, and I knew when I saw you, wow, because it's good to have that tagline, because that's your brand now.
Sometimes,
Gerald,
I'll be sitting down. Yeah, it is. Sometimes I'll be sitting down, and somebody will walk up to me, and they'll just go, wow, to me, you know? So it's kind of fun. It actually turned out to be something fun.
See? It came naturally to you, and now it's your celebrity because of that wow. Everybody just knows you when they see you.
Well, that's a bit much on the celebrity, but we're having fun with
You're
it.
Having fun with it, and that's the main thing. Well, you talk about, when you give your commercials, the Hendrick Advantage. Let's talk about what you mean by the Hendrick Advantage. I see you have teamwork through trust and respect. Tell us what those core values are, Gerald, please.
Well, the key thing about the Performance Auto Mall Advantage, we're part of the Hendrick Automotive Group. The parent company's out of Charlotte, North Carolina. It's one of the largest privately held auto groups in the country. It has over 100 franchises from coast to coast and continues to grow. We happen to be in Chapel Hill, part of that family. I am the operating partner. Mr. Hendrick is the majority partner. I'm the minority partner.
Okay.
And our values through our organization, you know, Hendrick Motorsports is a piece of our organization. Hendrick Auto Group and Hendrick Motorsports. And some people may not recognize the Hendrick Motorsport name, but they probably heard of Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Mark Martin, four of our racers. Mark Martin's going to retire this year, and Casey Kane is going to take over his car. But, you know, the Hendrick Motorsport is always synonymous with winning. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson's won the last four Winston Cup championships. Jeff Gordon has won four Winston Cup championships. And it's certainly an honor to be part of that organization, because they have some different values that keeps the team, the people of the organization close. And, you know, there's always challenges when you have multiple people working on a project. And, you know, we have two, and for instance, we have 270 employees here at Performance. And it's hard to get them to always do the right things all the time. That's the magic of having a successful company, is getting people to rally for a common cause and do business the right way.
Yes.
So the core values were created as a kind of a baseline to how we operate. And the Hendrick Advantage is teamwork through trust and respect. And that's, you know, most of the things about business, and we can talk about this several times, I'm sure, in this hour, is that, you know, it's pretty simple stuff to be successful in business. It gets complicated when people get selfish. And, you know, so the through trust and respect is a kind of a baseline that I need to be able to trust you're going to do the right thing. I need to respect that sometimes I may not agree, but it's good for the team.
Yes.
And if we all win, we all win. And, you know, there's no, you know, we've always heard there's no I in team. Mm-hmm. That's a common statement many people make, and it's true. And so that's kind of where that those core values came from.
And the team, is the team here in the Triangle, or is the team the entire Hendrick team?
Well, we're all a team. Mm-hmm. From coast to coast, we're a team. But locally, we're at Performance Auto Mall, at what I manage. I'm not affiliated, meaning I don't manage the other entities throughout the United States. I manage Performance Auto Mall. And so when I talk to our team and I rally our team for a common cause, I'm talking about the trust and respect in this entity here in Chapel Hill.
Got it. That makes sense to me. I'm going to go back to one thing you said when you mentioned Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. For anybody in our audience who doesn't know, you said the relationship you have. Could you break down what is that relationship? Do you sponsor them? Do you give them the cars? What do you do for those racers?
Well, Mr. Hendrick is the common denominator amongst the two entities, Hendrick Auto Group and Hendrick Motorsports and Hendrick Companies. He's actually got several different companies. So we have the opportunity to attend meetings with them on occasion, to do things more of a brainstorming type of about teamwork, but we don't really sponsor them or anything. You know, NASCAR is kind of its own individual sport.
Right.
They do really good. They don't need sponsors.
I don't understand that.
You know, they're the Hendrick Motorsports is at the top of the heap usually. So we're proud of them, and they're proud of us, and we work together when we can help each other. Sometimes we'll have cars up here, like for like shows, and we'll bring one of the NASCARs up here, and people come out and see it. So we do some things for marketing purposes.
So I see.
They're more important to our marketing than we do to their marketing.
Yeah. Okay.
Because their marketing companies are like DuPont or, you know, big companies like that.
Yes. Understand.
Lowe's Home Improvement is the hood of Jimmy Johnson's car. National Guard is on Dale Earnhardt's car. Kellogg's is on Mark Martin's car. And Jeff Gordon's is DuPont. That's the main sponsor.
That's the main sponsor. Do you get a chance to meet these racers?
Yeah, I've talked to all of them at different times. They're great people.
That's good to know.
Yeah, they just drive fast.
Right. Yeah. Always turning left.
They turn. Well, you know, there's a couple road courses in their racing, and some of their, like Sonoma and up in Watkins Glen up in New York, they have a couple different road tracks, but they're pretty much always turning left.
That's what I was wondering. At high speed.
Yeah, at high speed. 200 sometimes.
I don't know how they do it, I swear. Well, back to your core values, I see integrity is listed as well. Tell us what the importance of integrity in your business.
Well, you have to do business in a straightforward manner. I tell people that, you know, when you start having to make exceptions or excuses, you lose your integrity. You know, you want to have some basis of how you perform and your value system to do what's right. Sometimes doing right can be a challenge, because it could be expensive or it could be a situation where you lose. And so it really challenges the culture of a team when you have a situation that you go, I got to have integrity in this, even though it may be painful for me. You have to do the right thing. So integrity is a real major core value for us, because you got to do what's right no matter what. And is my mindset and our company's mindset.
And never compromise your values.
You can't, because once you do it, you'll always do it again.
Do you find that most of the folks do follow that, your core values in
your
company?
Well, you know, we preach a lot. We talk about things in our business a lot different than a lot of people talk about in business, I think. We spend a lot of time on doing what's right and talking about it. We're far from perfect because we're human beings. But overall, our team, we have some great people that really care about what they do and how they do it.
Let's hear some more about those people, Gerald, in our next segment. Thank you so much. You're listening to Today's Business, 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill talking with Mr. Gerald Ramoyne. Please stand by.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
We're back with Mr. Gerald Remoyne of Performance Auto Mall. Gerald, in the first segment, we were talking about your core values. You explained teamwork through trust and respect. And you also discussed how you could consider integrity to be such an integral part of everything you do. I also noticed you have the core value commitment to customer enthusiasm. You have enthusiasm. Tell us about that core value.
Well, you know, in our business, it's more than happy customers. It's loyal customers, you know, people that come back again and again and again. And there's only one reason why a consumer would consider that is it'd have to be a place that they enjoyed. It was a positive experience. They got their needs met and they felt good about doing business with you. So customer enthusiasm is more than making the customer happy. It's making the customer enjoy it.
Enjoy it?
Yeah. And so we work really hard at, and that's where the wow comes from, right? Right? The wow experience. We want the customer to say, wow. You know, I get credited with saying wow a lot, but reality is I want the customer to say, wow, that was a really neat experience. So we put a lot of value in making sure our customers recognize that they're valued at our place of business, that they mean something to us, that they're not a commodity.
Exactly.
Because it's hard. You know, I'm a consumer myself, and I buy products at places, and I certainly get some poor experiences and people lack of caring and a lack of enthusiasm in their efforts to help me. And so as I manage this business and I'm responsible for this team, I'm trying to convince our team that that's the right way to go. Every day you work at that. It's a journey. It's not a destination. So we want customers to feel really good about what we do for them.
And we hear your commercials. You have so much enthusiasm in your commercials. I imagine you infuse that into your team as well, that you set the example for enthusiasm.
Well, I've never been accused of being short on energy. And, you know, and our business is a tough business, and I'm sure we'll talk about the business later on.
Right.
But it takes a lot of energy, and, you know, and even though you did a lot of great things for a lot of customers, the next customer really doesn't care. It matters only what you do for them.
See?
You know, so if you take care of 50 customers in a row, the next customer walks in, they say, what's in it for me? So you have to keep that enthusiasm and that passion for excellence at a high level all the time. It's I kind of consider it like being almost an actor. That, you know, when you do a production or a play and it's a Broadway play and it runs for 60 days and you do it every day, you know, the even though you did a good show 50 days in a row, if I'm paying in the audience and I'm sitting down and I'm watching you today, I want it good today.
Right.
And so that's what I try to stress in our team. It's in the moment with the consumer.
Every day.
Every day. It's tough.
Yeah. Let me break off from the core values to ask about the stigma associated with car salesmen. It sounds like you don't want to have that stigma associated with Performance Auto Mall and your team.
Well, my family's core values, my parents' core values was to do. That's why it was so easy for me to own these core values, because that's how I was raised. You do things right. You do them the best you can. You do them the right way. You help people. And so when I got in the car business, I really never had the stigma in my mind, because I knew who I was and what I stood for and what I'm about. And I certainly have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're a car salesman.
Bad.
You know, and I've certainly had to defend that before. You know, we all have, right? But I think the thing that I take the most pride in, and we're far from perfect. We certainly got a lot of room to improve as human beings. We always will. That's kind of my focus. I challenge my team members to do the right thing. But if they make a mistake, because, I mean, it's inevitable. You can't be perfect every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly just, I want to learn from it. I want to improve in it. I want to recognize what went wrong. Let's have a process to fix it. Let's attack it with our enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Make sure we do the right thing the next time. You know, if it happens once, it's a mistake. We all make mistakes. If it happens again, it's a trend. So let's prevent the trend. So we work with our people, but the stigma of the car business, it's certainly out there. But, you know, the car business has really changed a lot. And I wish I could get the customer service that we give usually in the businesses that I walk into. Most of the time, I see the difference, and I think our team performs at a pretty high level.
Good for you. You're setting the example. I guess some salesman, car salesman, have made it bad for some other car salesman, but you're above all that.
Well, you know, you're categorized. You know, if you're an association, you know, with anything that if one person does it wrong, you're certainly part of that. So, you know, and the only thing you can do is, I always say, the only thing I control is what I control.
That's right.
And, you know, so I do the very best I can. If I make a mistake, I'll fix it. You know, what's the book says? Everything I need to learn, I learned in kindergarten.
Kindergarten, that's a fact.
You know, that's a real simple book. It's not complicated. No one from Harvard had to write that.
That's right.
And it really sets the values. If you open it, close it. If you break it, fix it. You know, if you do something wrong, say, I'm sorry. There's some really basic things that we complicate as human beings because we get our egos in the way or drama or we get defensive. You know, it's about getting better. That's what it should be. So we try to keep it on that spirit.
That's smart. What about this passion for winning?
Well, you got to win, you know. I'm a competitive person. And, you know, I wasn't athletic enough to play professional sports, but like most boys, I played a lot of sports, and I was a pretty good ball player and played a lot of sports, and I was always driven to do my best. And then I think it was a lot of the parenting that I received from my parents. They were very simple, you know, country people, and you always did your best. And so I learned that, and so getting into the auto business, we want it to be the best customer. You know, they measure you in the car business about your customer service scores in comparison to other dealerships.
Yes.
And they measure your sales and your market penetration, all the things. So I get to see what my peers are doing, my competitors are doing, and I want to beat them. I want to be the best dealership. And matter of fact, we've received numerous awards for customer service, for performance, and things of this nature. And we certainly, like I said earlier, we have room to improve because we want to win them all. We never win them all. But we're trying to. So competitive enthusiasm is a major piece of our business.
You're saying that you can see the results for the other car dealerships. Is that beyond the kind of cars you sell?
Sure.
You can see everybody?
Each manufacturer has dynamic scoring that they say is this is key criteria that we want to measure each dealership by. And so we get to see, I can look at different dealers in the country that sell my brand and see how I compete against them. Now, certainly in Chapel Hill, you might be different than a dealership in Dallas, Texas, okay, because of the size, right?
Right, right.
But they have market penetration is the name they call it. And so of every 100 cars that are sold in the country of that highline segment, for instance, in BMW or Chevrolet or whatever, how many of those do you sell? Mm-hmm. So even though Dallas might sell a lot more cars, how many of the 100 do you get? So it kind of becomes like par,
right,
on a golf course. It kind of evens the playing field.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see where you perform in respect to market percentage.
I got it. And that's got to be very valuable because you're all about winning. You're setting a passion for winning.
Right.
And that's an incentive because you want to be at the top with all the other core values, strong customer service and everything else.
Exactly.
Okay, I got it.
So it gives you a score. You know, one of the key ingredients in success, I think, is having a score or a measurement. You know, human beings are motivated by doing well. We want praise. We want people to say you're doing a good job, or we want to be able to look at a target and go, there's my target. I think too many businesses don't have a target for their team members or their employees, and they're not really focused on what they're trying to obtain. Mm-hmm. So they lose interest. It lacks enthusiasm. See, I think enthusiasm is created by having a measurement because we want to be measured. You know, we want to say, since we were kids, we want to hear good boy.
Right.
You know,
right.
Good girl, right? Yeah. Good dog, yeah, or whatever the scenario is. And I think that happens as adults. So in a company, if you're going to be successful, I think you have to have a measurement for your team members to get excited about.
I heard a statement the other day, you can't manage what you can't measure.
That's a fact.
So
I've said that a bunch.
To measure it. I can imagine.
I do quotes. I'm a quote person. I send a quote every day to my employees and my team members, and I send something, and that's one of them. That's a great one.
I believe
you can't manage what you can't measure.
Exactly. Well, let's stop on that note and take another break and come back and finish talking about your core values. You're listening to Today's Business, 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill talking with Mr. Gerald Ramoyne. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for staying with us. We're talking today with Mr. Gerald Ramoyne. Fascinating conversation from what's happening over at Performance Auto Mall. And we're talking about the core values that Performance Auto Mall, that Gerald says he passes along to all his employees. Gerald, we're down to accountability at all levels is one of your core values. Tell us what that means to you.
Well, you have to have, you know, if you're going to be great, you got to have certain measurements that you say these are expectations. You know, I always require employees to do their best. Certainly, we're human, but I require to have the effort. You must bring the effort. I can't, with the quotes, I can't bring a horse to water. I can bring a horse to water, but I can't make him drink, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with employees. You got to have accountability. You know, if you're going to be on our team or a business team, I know we're talking about business in general here today, and we're talking about our business here, but these things work for any business,
yes,
is that you have to have consequences or accountability to perform well. You know, otherwise, though saying is another quote, you're only strong as your weakest link.
That's right.
And so you have to have some measurements in there and accountability. And our requirement as leaders, I always tell our management team, I said, our responsibility is to help our team members be successful. We can't just say, do it, and you're on your own, and good luck. You have to bring some training and mentoring and caring. People got to know that you care, you know? And so you've got to inspire them with support. You got to provide them with a stage to perform on, so to speak, to be successful. But you also have to have accountability that, you know, A, you got to do your best. B, there's certain requirements of the job that you got to do. And, you know, I've had it to where an employee may not be able to do a certain job, but be a good person.
Yes.
And be a good team member. So you got to get them on the right bus, and you got to get them in the right seat going the right way.
And that brings this, I guess you have this quote too, is before they care about what you know, they want to know about how much you care.
Yeah, it's
and
funny so, you said that. I was thinking that when I was saying that. I was saying, we got something going on
here. Yeah. I swear, that's the core. You've got to be thinking that way. Otherwise, all this goes out of the window. Well, for those who may have been tuned in late, the core values so far that we've covered are teamwork through trust and respect, integrity, commitment to customer enthusiasm, a passion for winning, and we just discussed the accountability at all levels. Gerald, that leaves one more core value you have listed, and that is the commitment to continuous improvement.
Well, you can't rest on your laurels. You know, you have to, or you have to challenge yourself to get better because, you know, I would love to sit here and say that all 270 team members at Performance Auto Mall do it right each and every day, do it perfect, but I wouldn't be telling the truth. I would lack integrity in that statement, right? And so you have to have the desire to recognize what you did. You have to be, you put your ego down. You have to make sure that you're not defensive, and you have to analyze what we did wrong, if you did something wrong, or you can improve. I always tell the employees, we can change anything we do. We have a process coordinator in our dealership. We map processes for everything that we do. It'd be something like IBM would do, right?
Yes.
So we have everything written down. We have a process manual about how to do each and every step of our business, because when you ask an employee to do something, you have to give them a way to do it consistently or they can't learn it. Human beings have to do something repetitive to, repetition is the mother of all skill,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so you have to have that process education in place for the employee. But you also have to recognize that we're human and we're going to make mistakes. So you're going to have to analyze what you did right, analyze what you did wrong, figure out a way to do it better. And so we ask our employees to give us feedback about how to be a better place to work,
wow,
how to be a better place for our customers to do business. And you find out that sometimes I think I have the answers and I realize that I don't.
See.
That there's somebody doing it in our dealership. It might be the guy sweeping the floor, and he goes, well, that's not really the way to do it. You can do it this way and be more efficient. So you have to continually ask people and search out answers of improvement. Otherwise, you're, you know, there's another old saying is you're either getting ripe or you're getting rotten.
You know? I've heard that one, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so you have to, and getting right means that you have to continually look at ways to get better. And if and you get rotten when you think you know it all or you're there, because it's a journey, it's not a destination. So continuous improvement is a key ingredient in a successful team because you got to stay there.
That's right.
You know, and it's hard to stay there.
Right, right. You can't say. I like your style, Jeremiah. This is the way I like to do business. And
Thank you.
You're saying everything. Would you say this is the key to your success?
I'd like to think so. You know, I said this a couple earlier times that it's pretty simple. Success is, you know, rather simple. It takes hard work. It takes character and it takes effort.
Yes.
You know, and I've never been fortunate enough to figure out how to do it the shortcut way. You know, I've always been a guy that rolled up my sleeves and I call it get dirty.
And it makes a difference.
And get down in there and work. And, you know, I was raised small town. My dad was a pipe fitter in an oil refinery, blue collar, nothing fancy. I left home with 50 cents in my pocket, one of those conversations,
yeah.
You know, going to cut my own path. And so hard work is really what it's all about. So, yeah, you have to just put forth the effort. You know, a lot of people look for, I got four children and I got a son that's in college and I tell him all the time, I said, there's no shortcuts to success. You need to do it right each and every day and it'll pay.
See? And in terms of your company, my favorite quote, so goes the head, so goes the body.
There you go.
Since you're at the head, it sounds like you're setting the example for
you
all
have
of your employees.
You have to, you know, and that's hard sometimes because you can be challenged to waver on your commitment. You know, there's moments of truth, I call them, when who you are, is it really who you are,
yeah.
You know? And so at times you got to really kind of step back and analyze, okay, what's my value proposition here,
yeah.
You know, and make sure in the moment of truth I do the right thing on a consistent basis.
Well, Gerald, how did the economy, the downturn in the economy, how did that affect your company, your sales? Just overall, how has this been for you over the years?
I've been in the auto business now for 29 years. That's amazing. I've you know, been through a couple downturns in that time. This has been a tough economic time for a lot of people. It's been hard. It's been a bigger challenge. You know, things are more expensive. Healthcare costs more. Business costs more. Everything costs more. And then the margins are smaller and the economy slower. So we've had to really buckle down and you know, lean out where you possibly could, cut out the fat expenses and work harder. You had to be smarter. You had, you know, in tough times, you get good habits. In good times, you get bad habits.
Interesting.
You know, and so in tough times, we've had to really, you know, really analyze where we were. You know, we all get lazy, so to speak. And we had to really tighten up in every area that we possibly could. And that's about, we talked about continuous improvement,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so this is a journey, part of the journey that we've had to really analyze what we could do better, how we could do it better. And we've been fortunate. You know, the economy in this market hasn't been as bad as some markets. You know, Chapel Hill's a pretty positive economic community. People have supported us here. People buy local. We've tried to, you know, continue to give in the community, and it's, you know, it's been fruitful for us. People have been loyal to our business. And we've had, even though it's been a challenging market, we've had a successful time in a challenging market.
Did you have to lay off when we got
We did not. We actually hired.
Fantastic.
Our business has grown through this time. And we've, you know, we spent, as ironic as it is, it was you know, going through the permit process for our new facilities. We built a new BMW store. We remodeled, put air conditioning and heat in all our service centers for our employees to be comfortable. And because employee satisfaction is equally important to us.
Yes.
I talked a lot about customer enthusiasm.
Yes.
I want to spend as much time on my employee, my team member, as I do the customer. And so we spent a lot of money. We spent $20 million right when the addition. This is not what we spent to build it. This is a $20 million improvement
we
spent.
Oh, my.
And right when the economy tanks, so to speak. So it was pretty scary. So we've had to, and we were bigger, so we had to hire, but it's paid off. We've actually grown, and we've been profitable and productive all through this time. It's been some hard work, though.
I can believe it. It's been
a few sleepless nights. Exactly what I was getting ready to say.
Imagine. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, let's take a break at this point. When we come back, let's hear some more about your business and how the what trends you see in the business. So please stand by. You're listening to 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill, and I'm talking with Mr. Gerald Remoyne. We'll be right back.
Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. And now, back to today's business with Sharon Hill on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Thank you for staying with us. This is Sharon Hill, and I am talking with Mr. Gerald Remoyne. We've had such a fascinating conversation about his dealership and his values. Before I go any further, please tell us where you're located, Gerald.
Well, we're, what do you say, conveniently located. Anywhere in the triangle, but we're right off of I-40 on 15501 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard, exit 270. We're right before you go into Durham in Chapel Hill, right off the interstate.
Got it. Close to everybody in Orange County and beyond. Let's get down to the specifics of your dealership. Tell the audience, please, what brands of automobiles you sell.
We have Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru, and then pre-owned cars as well. So we have a pretty eclectic menu, so to speak, a little bit for everybody, which is kind of nice because you get to work with a lot of different people at different places in their life.
In their life. Now, that's, even though I've heard your ads, that kind of surprises me because I always assumed, you know, how we have listened, that it was always one brand, but different models of that brand. So you deal with General Motors, you deal with Acura, you deal with BMW, you deal with all these.
I have German, Asian, and domestic manufacturers.
Domestic manufacturers.
So I'm a little bit with everybody.
And now, what's the most popular car or the most popular brand going on?
Well, you know, there's different segments. And you know, and we got the Chevrolet brand that tends to be a family-type vehicle, trucks and Tahoes and Suburbans. Now they've got Corvettes and Camaros and Malibus, and now they got the new Volt.
Oh, I've heard, yeah.
Which is all, we just got our first one in recently. Uh-huh. So it's exciting that you get to work with a lot of different people. Then the Subaru brand is a totally different brand. The Porsche brand is the kind of more of a sports enthusiast elite brand. And then the BMW brand is certainly a very hot product. It's probably our biggest seller. And then the Acura brand is certainly a great Asian product, a Japanese product that is very... It tends to be a very dependable, more of a traditional buyer that wants to make a good buying decision. So we get different consumers in each brand. It's amazing the difference between each person we talk to.
I can imagine. Why did you decide to be so eclectic with the brands that you sell?
Well, with franchise laws the way they are, you kind of are held to what's available. So it was originally Harris Connor Chevrolet. And you know, and then it picked up the BMW brand, and Subaru came along, and then they bought a Porsche store that was in town and put it in there, and then the Acura brand came out from Honda. So it was just kind of a by happenstance, so to speak, of how it became such a diverse. And certainly when we put it together, the franchise brands, we looked at it as being something where we had a little something for everybody. Oh. In Louisiana, we call that Lanyap.
Lanyap!
Yeah, you probably heard that. That's a little something for everybody. So we have a little lanyap there. We have, you know, cars from $5,000 to cars that are over $500,000 in the Porsche brand, which is rare, but they make a GT that was over $500,000.
And you sell that here as well?
You don't sell many of those, obviously.
I was going to say, like one?
Yeah,
two?
Yeah, exactly. And then you have, you know, the $5,000 car that college students or a second work car, or you have a Chevrolet product. It's amazing the different clientele we see.
Imagine. How has the gas price affected your business overall?
You know, that's really interesting because as it goes up, you see the consumer interest change. You know, I think there's some conditioning going on from the oil companies. You know, they bump it up, they get it real high, and then they drop it down a little bit. So if it's at, you know, $2 a gallon, they bring it to $4 a gallon. And then at $3, you go, that's a good deal. Oh. But it started out at $2, right? So they condition you mentally. So you see that in the consumer starting to go, gas is not that bad. Now it's higher than it's ever been or whatever. And then they're continuing to buy cars that aren't as gas conservative. But when it bumps, you can see a spike. And you see the consumer coming in saying, I want to get rid of this specific car because I want something with better gas mileage. So it certainly provokes the customer's decision making.
See, what they say, the frog in the hot water, you don't notice it until...
Right, until you're boiled, right?
Boiled,
yeah.
Right. Do you sell any electric cars?
The Chevy Volt is an electric car.
Okay.
And, you know, all the manufacturers have hybrids now, and they're coming out with hybrid products and improving those, and the technologies are changing, and hydrogen is even something that the BMW brand has, and some markets they've actually testing. So there's a lot of different things going on and alternative fuel sources.
Is that hydrogen really all it's pumped up to be?
Well, you know, I've driven a hydrogen car, and it certainly was not noticeable about how it ran. It ran really well. And, you know, it's I'm not sure of the safety aspects of the pressurized of containers that the hydrogen comes in.
Yeah.
And I think, but it's certainly a... it's water.
It's water.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. What do you see the trends, say, 5-10 years down the road? What are your fortune-telling eyes see down the road for cars?
Well, it looks like that the size of vehicles and the consumption of vehicles, you know, the engineering is really changing because the manufacturers are realizing that we're becoming more fuel conscious, fuel consumption conscious. So the engineering and the weight of cars and the material they're using and the engineering is becoming more precise. And, you know, they're taking cars that were not too that long ago, 20 miles per gallon cars, and they're getting 30 and 30 plus, the same car, and, you know, just better technologies. So I think you're seeing the manufacturer get a lot smarter about building cars, and they're passing that on to the product. And, you know, it's nothing to get 30 miles per gallon anymore.
And
you know, I remember it wasn't that long ago, and you said 30 miles a gallon, that's a bicycle.
Right, a moped.
Yeah.
Imagine. Oh, my goodness. Well, you're mentioning how technology is changing the gas consumption for the cars. What about the marketing techniques for automobiles? Is that changing as well? And if so, how?
Well, you know, and we're in Chapel Hill, and there's no place, a sustainable community, maybe more focused than in this market area. And consumers around the world and around the country are really looking at their fuel consumption. People are becoming more responsible, and people are looking at buying cars that are a little bit better fuel efficient, you know. And so the manufacturers realize that. And that's kind of what I was just talking about prior to that question, is that they're engineering cars better and putting lighter metals and making the car lighter and make it more efficient, the technologies in the car. So the consumer's driving the interest from the manufacturer to get better gas mileage.
Get better gas mileage.
Because it's expensive. A tank of gas can be a lot of money for a family.
Now, I can imagine.
Especially in these economic times.
And you got to eat.
Is right.
Gas, or do you eat? And there we are. Do you get a moped? Are motorcycle sales infringing at all upon automobile sales because of the gas mileage?
You know, I think motorcycle sales certainly do all right when gas is really high. But I think what's happened right now is the economy is a little more challenged, and people need a car because of weather and carrying things. And so used to, they'd buy a motorcycle and their car, and they would use the motorcycle. But I'm not sure the disposable income is there, that the motorcycle business has been a little sluggish.
I can imagine.
Even though the gas
really?
Is,
well,
yeah, because the, you know, people are, you know, out of work, or people don't have the extra disposable income to buy that motorcycle to save on gas. So they're focusing more on buying the car that gets the better gas, because they can use that for fun and for work.
Are people holding onto their cars longer in terms of how's your used car sales?
You certainly have seen the consumer hanging on to cars longer, and the average age of cars is certainly in driving on the roads in service has increased to where cars are certainly getting older. People are keeping them longer. They're trying to figure out ways to to keep them on the road. You know, it can be expensive because the mechanical upkeep is not cheap either. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing more people, and a lot of people come in looking for used cars too. You know, we have a huge used car center, and with our Hendrick network, we have over 4,000 cars in our network at one time.
4,000?
Yeah, oh, pre-owned. So we got a little bit of something. Again, there we go back, a little something for everybody. So we're pretty diverse.
With the 30 seconds we have left, how many cars do you try to move, or what's your metric for how many cars you want to move every month?
Oh, well, we try to 300 cars a month in our brands.
300?
Yeah, in Chapel Hill. That's pretty good. We've been fortunate to be pretty successful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, let's close by just having you tell the audience one more time where you're located, Gerald.
We're located right here on 15501 in Chapel Hill, right off I-40.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me today.
It was my pleasure.
I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you. You've been listening to Today's Business with Sharon Hill, talking today with Mr. Gerald Remoyne. What a conversation. Thank you so much. Please check him out. Take care. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Today's Business on WCHL with Sharon Hill. Today's Business, an exclusive presentation of 1360 WCHL. Join us again next time for Today's Business.